Hey, welcome to Guitar Knobs, the guitars, gear, noise, and nonsense podcast, hosted today by these knobs.
Tony Dodjak, Pickardian.
Jared Brandon of Nashville is not with us tonight. He's got some work shenanigans he's dealing with, trying to get the work done.
He's building Les Pauls.
Rob is getting work to. Everybody is busy. Except for Tony and myself. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Guitar Knobs. This is Todd Novak. We are thrilled to death that you are listening to our show. And we are graced by the presence of two other gents in the studio tonight. Local gents. And gent number one, who are you?
John Esterly with Rare Buzz Effects.
Yes. And our guest du jour is
the guest of the day.
Yes. Well done.
Zach Sweeney with Malaise Forever.
Right on. Zach, thank you for joining us tonight. And
thank you for having
John for helping out. We'll get into, you know, Zach and John's relationship with the pedal building a little bit. We'll touch on it, but we're going to focus on Zach from Malaise Forever. Before we go any further, you want to explain what that means?
Well, that is a direct Simpsons reference. It's been a long time. I've used to be incredibly obsessed with watching it, but there was an episode where they erected a Jimmy Stewart statue in the middle of town, and the inscription on the base of it was "Malaise Forever," in reference to a speech that he had made, yada, yada. And town went nuts about it. And for some reason, that just kind of stuck as like a little personal slogan. And I just decided to go with it for this.
Awesome.
Nice.
Fantastic. How many times a day do you get asked about that?
About 20, yeah.
Good. Well, just in case anybody is wondering, what exactly Zach does, he makes pedals. And we got a table full of them today. And so does John over here. John, you want to give yourself a quick plug there?
John Esterly with Rare Buzz Effects.
There you go. You've heard us tell you his name for many times.
And twice he's been in on the one show, episode.
So you should be relatively familiar with him.
Todd, do you want to give yourself a little plug?
John, you can lay down.
I mean, they don't need to. Everybody.
Who are you?
I already said that, Todd Novak, but anyways. If you're joining us for the very first time, I think you're in for a treat. We usually have a pretty good time doing this.
Absolutely.
We try to learn a few things. We try to have a good time and forget about all the outside world and just focus on cool things that we like.
But what is it that we do on this podcast, Todd?
I was just about to ask you, Tony, what is it that we do on this podcast, Todd?
We like to talk about Todd and Todd's gear and Todd's band, the Villantinos.
Okay, anyways.
But anyhow, no, we like to talk about gear. We like to talk about boutique gear.
That's, primarily.
Things like guitars and amps and pedals and accessories and all the good stuff.
We like sharing things and people that maybe others might not be aware of.
Well, I was going to say, more specifically, we talk to the builders of this gear. And we like to introduce them to, you know, in some cases people don't know who they are or maybe haven't tried their products. But now we just, they listen to the podcast, they say, I'll take 12 of those, please.
Yeah, we do 101s, just like the last one that we just released, Gretsch 101.
Gretsch,
we had Japanese Pedals 101 recently before that.
Yeah.
And influencers and movers and shakers and authors and all kinds of stuff. So if you are new to the podcast, make sure you go backwards after listening to this one, because I think you'll like it.
But not too far, right?
go far. There's almost, staying near 260 episodes, I think, just about.
Yeah.
Pretty close to it anyways.
300,000 episodes.
If you go back to like the first five, you might write me a bad letter or something. But
just work your way backwards. It's very simple.
So we're going to quickly take care of a couple of announcements.
Rogue!
We need to thank Rode Mics for providing our awesome audio gear and this delicious console in front of us, the
Rodecaster Pro.
That is correct. And the Procaster mics and the articulating arms.
I love those.
And our pal Nick down in Australia. Thank you for keeping the show swinging, Nick.
The dingo ate you, baby.
Right. We would like to call a little bit of attention real quick to a relief effort that the guitar community has put together, specifically, I think, mostly the pedal community. And John is here as a co-representative of this effort for Pedals for Ukraine. And do you want to just give a quick... I've read this a couple times, but you want to throw in your two cents on this?
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, the pedal community has circled together to do things like this in the past, and it's, you know, these things mean a lot to us, and, you know, we're people just like you. We're affected by the news, and I think it's important for us to, you know, raise awareness and get things to the right place. So, you know, a large group of the folks in the pedal community have donated their time and their products to a raffle sale, and they're handling, as far as I know, shipping in all directions. And you know, all of the funds will then go towards you know, the what is it, three charities? The
three charities. Let's read those off real quick. The World Central Kitchen.
Yes.
So these people need to get fed. The USA for UN Relief Agency.
Yep.
Handling pretty much all general matters, I imagine.
Yes.
And Doctors Without Borders, because obviously there's a lot of hurt people, a lot of sick people as a result of all this nonsense. So you can check out, you can send inquiries to pedalsforukraine@gmail.com. And then you can check out the Instagram, pedalsforukraine, and figure out what you might want to get, because the cool thing is most of these are one-offs, right?
Right.
So aside from helping others who really need it, you're going to get some pretty unique pedals that probably won't get made ever again. Let's hope that they never get made again. That's the thing. That should be their slogan. That's a bumper sticker. Go make a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to move on real quick. Thank you, John.
You're
and
welcome.
In the entire Pedals for Ukraine community, circle of builders, we thank you greatly. Now, what is going on in our music worlds this week? We're going to talk to Tanya Bolonsky, a.k.a. Tony Bolonsky, and he's going to lead us off. And then we're going to check in with our friend Zach from LA's Forever.
Yay.
So, you know, Todd, I had a couple of things when I was coming in today that I was going to talk about. Boring stuff.
Hmm.
So I walk in and I see John Esterly sitting here.
Yes.
And I had missed his text to me from earlier that said, I have your Cyborg pedal. Are you going to be at the podcast tonight? And just for, you know, for someone who doesn't know, Rare Buzz Effects made a limited edition version of their Snitch pedal and called it the Cyborg.
So and the Snitch is?
Snitch is our take on the classic Rat style circuit.
Okay, but with?
With a lot more volume.
Got it.
More volume. But what's really cool about it, it has, it's in blue and yellow.
Right.
Ukrainian colors. And it also has Cyrillic fonts.
Right.
Meaning the style that is prominent in the Ukraine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a really cool pedal. I salute John for doing this.
Thank you. He's
been able to donate a lot of money and to help the people of Ukraine and efforts there to make things a little less nasty. And but I'm excited
John's
to
good
try
about
this
stepping
out
up for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is. So this is a great pedal. It was a great surprise. And I can't wait to plug it into my pedal chain.
Right on. Are those still available, John?
So we did a pre-order situation. There are going to be some extras by the time it all settles, but I want to get them all built, and everybody who's already paid for one, I want to make sure they've got them
before you release the extras.
Before we release the extras. But there's probably going to be about 5 to 7 extras. If anybody hears this and is interested, you know, feel free to reach out.
Sounds good. Right on. Thank you, Tony. Yeah, let's see, Zach, what's going on in your music world this week, aside from maybe what we might be covering in your, you know, interview portion?
Well, this week, I've been playing around a lot with, I don't know if you guys here or listening at home, if you are familiar with a little company called Lo-Fi Mind Effects. It's a small company, you know, one person operation out in Granada, Spain. And I was fortunate enough to get in contact with them, and we did a little trade, and I received their Electric Warrior, which is, it's a lot of fun. It's a simple concept that's just executed brilliantly. Kind of a double boost thing, but there is a, you know, at the end of the game taper, it just gets absolutely, you know, disgusting in the best way. So there's there's a lot of ground to cover there. And it's, I mean, it's an excellent pedal. I've been having a lot of fun playing with that and, you know, I guess reflecting on how cool it is to and how fulfilling it is to be part of, you know, the pedal community where we can, you know, build relationships and do stuff like that and just, you know, across the world, just, you know.
It's fun having international friends.
It sure is.
That's very cool.
Absolutely.
All right. John, about yourself?
Well, you know, Tony kind of hit on the big thing that's been ruling my life for the past few weeks. We finally got the enclosures for the Cyborg pedals, so I've been diligently building them away. And you did call it a limited edition. I do have to correct you because there are twice as many Cyborgs as there are Stitches now.
So, well, I mean, it's still limited. The limit is just very
good
high.
Problem.
It's started out to
and
be
a bad
limited.
Problem at the same
yes,
time.
Yeah. Yes. So, but outside of that, so I kind of told folks when we were offline, I'm very actively in the hunt for a new amplifier. And I think I've settled in on a Vox AC15. It's just a matter of finding the right one and finding the right price. So,
hand-wired.
Right. I did say the right price. So,
well, I will go on the record. I've had several Voxes in my lifetime, and I've had some of the CC series, which are the Chinese component ones, and they're not bad. But I actually traded an AC30 as part of a deal for this my AC15 hand wired, and I think as a pedal builder, if you can find one for a decent price, I would say grab one because it's a turret board. It's all, you know, that's the hand wired kind of
turret
thing.
Turret board.
They're made in Vietnam. And they're wired like very.
Look, if
old.
You say turt board, you got to say Vietnam. Jiminy Christmas.
Turt bird
made now Vietnam
at Target. You gotta get it at Target.
That's gonna change things because I kind of had one picked out. But if the hand wired is that much better, then
I'm telling you, just from experience, the speaker is very critical too. Mine came with a greenback.
Okay.
Which I like. I like greenbacks. But I put a El Nico Blue, a Celestion, in it. And it just, it just took it over the top. So if you can, you know, they're out there.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you can get by. And actually, so the AC15 CC series, if you put an El Nico Blue in it, it does sound better. But it's still a circuit board. As opposed to a turt board.
Turt bird. Well, I guess then the search continues because that changes everything.
I mean, don't you have an intern who could hand wire it for you after you buy it?
I mean, there's not much to it. You take a look at mine. I mean,
I've got him hand wiring Cyborg pedals right now.
Yeah.
No, I think you'll like, I mean, there's lots of good options in the Vox
Supra.
Family.
And then,
and there's always Dr. Z.
There is always Dr. Z.
A lot of his models are based on Voxes. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I guess then the search continues. So my music week will continue.
Yes. Add a zero.
Well, yeah.
Anyways.
Is that what Dr. Z stands for?
Z. Add a zero. Well, I know. Makes great stuff.
How about you, Todd?
Well, speaking of international friends, I just was busy designing our band's sort of the version two of our band. We're doing a new album, or at least a partial. And we're hitting a whole bunch of dates this summer. And I said, you know what? I'm going to update the logo and give ourselves a new shirt. And I was looking for, I've been spending a lot of time looking for the right illustrator to that kind of had the vibe of like what we are feeling right now. And I ran across a Spanish illustrator named Rodri, I'm assuming that's short for Rodrigo, Quintana. And his
How did you say the last name?
Quintana.
Thank you.
So you're welcome. and he goes under the pseudonym Canis Infernalis.
Oh.
So I am like super psyched about what we got. So I licensed one of his designs for the band for a year, and we're just gonna have some fun with this. I got the stickers and pins and
nice
shirts, oh my. And yeah, and it's cool because I like connecting with other creative people, and it's kind of extra fun when they're off of home turf, you know?
Yeah.
So there, that's what I did. We need to do a little bit of this. Hey, Tony, you know what?
What, Todd?
Our friends at Tour Gear Designs have come up with a new product. Now, it's been there for a little while, but it's still probably new to quite a few people. This is, they've got a new TRS cable.
That's a tip ring sleeve.
That's what I was just going to say. Tony, ask me what a TRS is.
I answered it. I'm smart.
You are smart. A tip ring sleeve. Now, what this is it uses three contact points.
Like a stereo cable.
Kind of. Are you reading what I'm reading?
No, I'm just smart.
You are. Smarter than I am. The tip for audio, the sleeve for ground, and an additional contact called the ring. Ooh. With the TRS cables, you can connect a mono-balanced line input or output and connect a stereo output to a stereo input.
Yes.
This is fantastic. TRS cables are balanced, which means you can run longer lengths and not worry about noise. So.
I know that.
Yes.
You know, you can also use them a lot of foot switches. Use a TRS cable.
Okay.
In between. So that that could be an option, too. If you needed just like maybe they make various lengths, but if you just needed a shorter one to set the pedal on top of your amp or something.
True.
That could possibly work.
And they do come in all the same lengths. And now if you use the Guitar Knobs code.
What is that code?
At the end, that code is going to save you 10%.
What is that code?
I'm working on the code.
10%.
10%.
10%.
It's just the Guitar Knobs. Put it in when you're about to pay for it. And pray for them, because you're going to get more than one, I guarantee it.
Now, you're thinking that's all one word.
I guarantee it. It is one word.
The Guitar Knobs.
The Guitar Knobs.
Nice.
So,
now, you're saying you're going to save an extra 10% on 10% top on of the an entire already order. Great price.
It's a fantastic product, fantastic
Now,
price.
What if I want more than one cable?
You just keep adding them to the cart.
Adam.
10% Adam, off of the entire order.
The entire order.
And they ship really fast. So go check out tourgeardesigns.com. Thank you, Tour Gear Designs, for sponsoring our Four on the Floor. And Jared gave me a little card, and he said I would like John to do the thingy.
Nice.
Let me get a little bit of this.
One, two, three. Four on the Floor.
All right, Zach from Malaise Forever. What is your Four on the Floor?
In this order, it would be the Rare Buzz Effects Piccolo Falsetto.
Okay.
The Germanium.
One at a time.
Yeah, we gotta talk about it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was.
Oh, you were talking about it.
Yeah, oh, nice one, Tony.
Yeah, I was gonna elaborate.
Way to mess up his flow.
I'm sorry, I insulted the guest.
It is a germanium gain stage / boost with just a lot of care and love put into it. It's got just a whole boatload of different tonal capabilities. And I love a treble boost with a little bit of grit at the front of my chain to really push the harmonics through my more aggressive drive pedals, if not just to be kind of a always on dirty stage.
Who makes that pedal?
I think it's John Esterly of Rare Buzz Effects.
Right on.
Do we know him? Has he ever been on the podcast?
No.
A couple times.
No, he makes, absolutely the best germanium treble boost circuit that I've tried. Like I said, there was a lot of care and thought put into the design of that. It's a simple circuit, but you know, when done right, it's amazing.
Fantastic. Number two.
Number two, the Small Sound Big Sound Mini. I think that more or less speaks for itself. It is a fantastic JFET overdrive. I love JFET overdrive in general. I love the sound of a JFET being saturated. And I love the active bass and treble controls and the bias control, which is something you don't normally see on, you know, an overdrive of, you know, that kind of sound profile. Just, it really opens it up to so many other possibilities. I mean, you know, it really even covers fuzz territories, and
I use that pedal like that is on my board.
It's an untouchable. It's a gold standard. I feel like, you know, I've heard a lot of people call it a modern classic, and I couldn't agree more.
Could we, you know, for those listeners who may not know what JFET means,
let's explain that.
We've got two experts here.
Yeah,
who wants to cover it?
It stands for junction field effect transistors. They're basically, you know, I would fail in explaining, you know, what technically would make it different from, you know, a BJT transistor that you would find like in a general fuzz, like a silicone transistor in a Big Muff. But they have this warmth and this, I mean, these all sound like buzzwords, but they have this authentic tube response in the way that they saturate and the way that they respond to input volume dynamics that really, it's unmatched aside
that's,
from
that's
with
tubes
themselves.
That's one of the things that I think I find to be the most prominent thing with that, especially with the Mini, because that's, like, I'm using that with the Marshall right now. It's like, what?
You hit the nail on the head. A JFET mimics the sound of a tube about as good as any silicon component that you can put in a pedal. So, and anybody who doesn't have a Mini right now, I am terribly sorry, because the prices on those have gone absolutely through the roof.
Well, and if you're interested, I don't know if he still has them, but you know, we had him on. Well, golly, I can't remember the number real quick. Tony's going to look it up while we're talking.
I will.
But we had Small Sound, Big Sound on, and after the show, I talked to him about a couple things, and he actually did a very, very small run that we deemed Levi to Levin.
Yeah.
And it's black and gold, and with a zipper,
right.
With
that's
an open
right.
zipper down the middle. And yeah, that's like... bueno.
Yeah.
So anyways, what was his number?
That would be number 150, Todd.
Calling number 150. Yes. Small Sound, Big Sound. So go check that out. He was a great guest. Great dude.
He's taking a little break from building pedals right now, but he'll be back.
I think he's running a label at present. A record
it's
label,
very
I think
possible.
Is what's going on.
Wow. He has really a music busy, store. Yeah. When we were talking to him, he was like trying to open up a music store. And I don't know if it was a music gear and records, or I don't know. But that was 100 episodes ago. What the crap?
100.
That was 100? That was...
If we did one a week...
That was 150 episodes. What?
That's 2 years ago if we did one
a
week.
You want to know something else crazy?
That's crazy.
This is going to blow your mind even more. Okay. Do you want to know who the guest host was on that episode? That's right.
John Esterly.
That's right.
Who?
Wow. Well, anyways, let's see. Yeah, so check out Small Sound, Big Sound. Get your hands on one of those. You got two people here plus vouching for that pedal. It's fantastic. Number three.
Number three is a EHX Pulsar Tremolo. The big box version of it. I have one of those. It's mono. I know that they currently make a stereo model, which I haven't tried, but it's easily one of my favorite tremolos. It's just got a really crisp sound, to the chops, and a lot of control with the waveform. And it feels really transparent. It's a really great tremolo pedal, and I've just always loved tremolos. I've been a dirt, person through and through my whole life, mm-hmm. but tremolo definitely has a special place in my heart.
I've got a fondness for tremolo myself.
And that's not an optical tremolo, is it? Or a lot of, like the old...
I believe it is, actually. Oh, maybe. I'm not... It's been a long time since I looked at the schematic for it. I know it's CMOS-based, but I think it might be an optical tremolo.
Okay. That's what gives it the pulse, so indeed. To speak. I mean, that's the original amp tremolos were based on optical, where the light would actually control the uphill and downhill.
Mm-hmm, the ramp. Yeah, I'm actually...
Ramp, that's the word I was looking for.
I'm actually working on an optical tremolo myself, so yeah.
Very
interesting.
Good.
Let's see here. So, number four.
Number four would be an Earthquaker Devices disaster transport, or, really any kind of, diver delay style analog... voiced delay. There's something that tickles my heart like nothing else when I syncopate the repeats from the tremolo and the delay, kind of do like a triplets with the tremolo repeats and on the quarters with the delay, and it sounds magical. I love doing that. I love a good analog voiced delay with just a little bit of feedback, just a little tasteful level. Mm-hmm. But that would be my fourth and final.
And pick. You gotta love a pedal that's named after a defunct ride at Cedar Point.
That was one of my favorite rides.
It was. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I heard that story.
Yes.
It was really Cedar Point's first ride that had experience as you were waiting in line, kind of like the Disney type thing where you
totally.
Cedar Point is the amusement park Fantastico
on the north coast.
On the north coast of Ohio, up at Lake Erie.
Yeah, that is Lake Erie.
Yeah, I'm guessing.
Yes.
You guessed right.
I still feel new to Ohio.
Because if you head north in Ohio, you stop at Lake Erie.
Yes. Well, you don't. If you're smart, you'll stop.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can keep going if you want.
So thank you so much for sharing your four on the floor. I'm curious, you didn't have any monster drives in there. Now, you got a great drive in there with the Mini, but you didn't have any monster drives. That's me queuing it up because you make a lot of monster noise pedals and stuff. Why didn't you have a monster noise pedal?
Because I make a lot of monster noise pedals, and one of the rules of four on the floor, if I understand correctly, is that I could not include any of my own making.
Unless your doctor's...
You're a victim of your own rules.
I know. Dr. Z came on... He just said, "Boys, go get some food," and he ran away with it.
Come
and
back
I think he did
minutes.
Four of his own.
So here's a secret: Todd doesn't actually listen to this stuff. So you could have put your own pedals.
Oh man!
Right. Well, let's get into everything that we need to know about Malaise Forever. And just out of curiosity, do you refer it to Malaise Forever pedals or effects or?
I really just kind of keep it at Malaise Forever. I guess in keeping with, the Instagram handle, I guess I would, call it Malaise Forever Customs.
Okay.
If
great.
We were to.
And, that's a good little, prompt for everybody to go check out your Instagram, right now. So Malaise Forever Customs. That's M-A-L-A-I-S-E. Forever Customs.
Yep. No, no characters between the words or anything. Just all that one word.
Right. Go check that out. You're going to like what you see. Now, we've prompted about dirt pedals and stuff, and we've got three of them in front of us. Why don't we talk about those first and foremost, and then kind of maybe hear a little bit about, you know, how you fell into this. Sounds good.
Sounds great.
Let's do one, and then we'll do a little narrative. How about that? Tony, why don't you grab one and kick it off?
Should we go for my least favorite or my favorite?
Well, qualify that, if you will.
So I did like all of the pedals. There's one that is a very spitty fuzz. It's very aggressive that I'm not a fan of.
It's a huge
But
sound.
I'm not a fan of that style of pedal.
That's fair.
So that is, it is not fair for me to say that it was my least favorite, even though it was.
So, but why, so don't, let's you, start why don't you with do that. That one?
So this is
that one's got maybe the most attention right now. Is that fair to say, Seth?
I'd say so right now, yeah.
So what kind of attention did you get recently on that?
I had a demo come out from Eric Marrow, who does absolutely fantastic demonstrations, walkthroughs. He's a genius. And that's...
Cool.
Yeah, it's been great.
So this is the Vicious Bastard.
Yes.
It is a one,
I love the artwork.
One knob fuzz, big knob, I might add.
Yes.
And 2 foot switches.
That's right.
What are the 2 foot switches?
The one on the right is just a bypass switch to turn the effect on and off. The second one controls, I guess in essence, a gated mode, a very heavy gate that turns it into almost kind of a bit crushed, bass heavy synth kind of style fuzz.
Yeah, yeah, that it does.
With a pretty quick decay to it, that's what they do.
So I think this would be probably most useful for single note runs.
Well, that's what I was mentioning when I plugged that in. Like immediately, I was like, "Oh man, this." And Troy Van Leeuwen with his signature jazz caster.
Master.
Blaster. Drink another Shaster.
Faster.
In the neck position, it would just cry.
Yeah.
You know? I mean.
Yeah, so for that type of thing, and yeah, but you obviously, with most fuzzes or octave pedals and things like that, you really can't do full-on chords and things like that. It's just they just go.
You kind of it can get out of control depending on how you have the settings on the pedal, you have your guitar. So all the settings can send that into oblivion, or you can try to tame that a bit. I bet rolling off your volume will probably help a bit.
A little bit, but I tried to, the name of it being Vicious Bastard, I tried to lean into, that concept.
It's not a wide range fuzz.
No, it's a one trick pony, but the trick it does is I guess very aggressive.
Yes.
And impressive if you like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like a finely sharpened sledgehammer.
Yes, yes, that's a great way of putting it.
Bravo, Todd, that's excellent.
Yeah, okay.
And personally, I love to use it on bass with the gated mode engaged. It kind of has almost kind of like a sub-synth quality to it. And I mean, the decay is long enough that you can, kind of go to town on the bass and not worry about the dynamics of the sustain being completely compromised.
Yeah, that's my big complaint when people get a little crazy with the gate is that the absolute zero dropout and re-engagement, it always freaks me out, like when that happens.
Yeah.
Well, cool. And you have it in a nice, as the lady hairstylists call it, ombre paint scheme on it with some really cool illustration. Can you tell us about the illustration?
Yeah, that was actually done by my friend Josh Freese, who is out in California. He is part of the Silver Sprocket Comics team out there, and he does some publishing of independent comics and whatnot. And he's been a great friend and a supporter since I first started this, and I've always loved his work, his art style. And so I just, you know, I reached out to see if he'd be interested. And it was the first time I'd ever really relegated something like that to somebody else. And yeah, it was fantastic. He really knocked it out of the park, and he's been amazing to work with.
Awesome. Did you make shirts out of that?
Yeah, there was an alternate design that looked great, but you know, when I stamped it on there, there was a lot of negative space. So he was gracious enough to kind of rework it into the way it is now. But the alternate artwork was printed on a shirt, and actually I have one small and one extra large left.
I bet you've been getting some requests for those.
Yeah, I have been. I think I'm going to do some runs. Yeah, exactly.
Well, you know, I have to pause right there and thank Zach, because we are very guilty in the gear community of only making black shirts. And I actually applaud you for it not being black, because it's refreshing to wear one of our friends' shirts that's not, you know, when it's like it is today, 85 degrees and sunny outside.
Yeah.
But you got to admit, they want the black shirts.
The name, the artwork, Vicious Bastard with a messed up vulture on it. It's like screaming to have that on.
Yeah.
I'd do it on pink.
That would be actually pretty cool.
That's definitely going to happen at some point. Pink is definitely up there for one of my most heavily used colors. So, yeah.
Nice. Cool.
That won't be long, I'm sure.
Right on. And let's see. So let's go into a little bit of narrative real quick. John, you actually kind of introduced me to Zach by way of saying, hey, here's somebody you should check out. I've gotten other people who said, hey, you should check them out too. But I think you were probably the first one. How did you guys get hooked up?
So, I mean, Zach and I kind of touched base as members of the Columbus gear community. I think we started talking very shortly after.
It's just
after
you two.
Well, right? Yeah, just the two of us. Yeah. There's absolutely no one else. If you hear anybody else say they're building pedals in Columbus, it's a lie.
But I followed you like before I started this. And we had a couple,
and
you know,
we'd had some interactions. And then when Zach started building, you know, I reached out, and, you know, just kind of how I do with a lot of people. If you have any questions, feel free. If you want to stop by the shop and poke around. And that's kind of where our friendship started. And then
now I can't get rid of me.
Yeah, now I can't get rid of him. But, you know, we also, we've got the Four Track Syndicate group with the two Kevins up in Canada, Kevin LeClerc of Sound Slice Effects, and then Kevin Schoen of Schoenswood, who you shot on the show before.
He just started a new Instagram out of nowhere.
Yeah, he's doing, I think he wanted to separate his personal stuff from his professional stuff, so his other account's more just him being goofy and noodling around on the guitar. And,
gotcha.
Yeah. But,
nice.
But yeah, I mean, I think Zach and I have a lot in common, just even outside of the building pedal stuff. So we became fast friends. So.
That's cool.
Yeah,
do you both work on the railroad?
No.
No, I do not work on the railroad.
He is a smarter man than I, so.
Wild. So you're building all of these things locally. You don't share a shop with John?
No. I have a little spare bedroom in my house that I work out of. I build them all.
Smart. Nice. Pay one rent.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, I wish I was that smart. And how is it that you came about getting into the place where you decided, hey, I'm actually going to start making a bunch of these?
You know, I started trying to make pedals just like anybody else who has ever tried to make a pedal. You know, I wanted more pedals than I had the money to spend. So figured I would try my hand at building some stuff. I was absolutely awful at it. I was terrible. It took me like 2 years to actually build something that even passed a signal. And I was just so absolutely swept up in it. I couldn't stop thinking about it day in and day out. You know, I would, I'd make something that didn't work and I'd swear it off. I'm like, you know what? I'm done. It's fine that I don't know how to make a pedal, you know, whatever. I'll just buy. I was trying to make an Acapulco Gold clone.
Yeah.
And I guess I took it as a sign because I was just so absolutely absorbed into it. I couldn't stop thinking about it and the satisfaction that I felt, you know, and basically all the processes. And I was thought that, you know, maybe I should take it a little bit further and see if, you know, maybe I can build a run of something, see if, you know, there's any interest, if it takes off. If not, you know, then at least I can't say that I didn't try.
Yeah.
And, yeah, things have just been absolutely fantastic. It's been a dream.
Now that you feel like, hey, I'm kind of doing this, I'm getting things going, what was your first actual, like, I'm going to put this out into the world more than a couple pedals?
I made a run of 10 Golden Guillotine back in March of 2020. Actually, quite coincidentally, it was right at the start of the pandemic. I had actually received the enclosures to start making them the day before we got sent home from our office.
Wow. Oh, wow.
And then, you know, the quarantine started. So, yeah, I made 10 of those and I hand painted those like I did all of my pedals up until very recently.
Now, when you say hand paint, is that powder coating or is that
finger? Actually, he uses fingers.
Yeah, finger painting.
Oh, you actually use your finger.
No, I actually used spray paint, and then I with those 10, I used an acrylic paint pen to do the labels and the name and whatnot. And you know, they, looking back at them now, they turned out pretty. Pretty amateur, and I am very thankful for the fact that people took a chance on them and bought them, considering how they looked.
The Golden Guillotine, what was that exactly?
That is a dual op amp distortion. It kind of bridges. It was based on the MXR Distortion Plus, but it kind of bridges the gap between that and the Rat. Very bass heavy, very high gain. It was a lot of fun.
Are you still making them?
No, not right now. I've been thinking, I retired them for a little bit because I have like 5 designs that I am currently trying to, you know, finish up and get released. And, I wanted to focus on those. And the Golden Guillotine, I'd always felt, was a better bass distortion than guitar distortion. And so I decided to retire that until I could rework it and really, you know, fine tune it specifically for bass and kind of do a relaunch of it.
Gotcha.
Nice.
Right on. Do you think you'll ever kick those back in?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've been a bass player first and foremost for, you know, over 20 years.
Ah.
So, and, you know, the search for a good bass dirt is, you know, a lot of, you know, of course, what led me to try to build pedals in the first place.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's very important to me personally to have, the best bass dirt pedal that I can muster.
Necessity is the mother of invention.
Yes, it is.
So as a bass player, what is your main bass?
My main bass had always just been a Fender Jazz Bass.
Nice.
Just, yep, dependable. I love the range of sounds. I love that bright punch, especially when you put a little distortion in there. They're fantastic.
Nice. How about amps and things?
Amps, I'd always, man, I had a Sun concert bass that I had carried around for like 15 years, that and an Ampeg 215.
That explains just, the muscles.
Wow.
Yeah. God, it was, yeah.
Together was, you carry them?
Well, I mean, one at
each
a time.
Arm, right?
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But no, that was that was a workhorse of an amp, yeah, and it was absolutely killer. But yeah, mostly solid states. I love Galley and Kruger heads. Mm. I love that, that mid snarl that they give. And yeah, I mean, you can't go wrong. I mean, when they work, you can't go wrong with a good old fashioned V4.
Right. And nice. So the kind of music you're playing obviously is on the heavier side of things.
Yes. Yeah. I was always in more aggressive, hardcore.
Right.
Yeah. Kind of acts.
It's like REM.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Indigo Girls.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Eiffel 65.
Nice. Okay, cool. Well, why don't we pick another?
Let's pick
pedal
another
that's on the table.
Another pedal. Todd, would you like to choose this
you
time?
Go. It's all you, buddy.
It's all me. Wow. Yeah. I didn't know this was my show.
It isn't.
Well, thank you. I just caught that. So this one, I like the other two pedals quite a bit, actually. And I think between the two, probably my most favorite was the Clubber Lang. Now, what would you call that? Is it like an overdrive, a distortion, you could do a lot with it, depending on where you have the knob set.
It's based... The core of it is a harmonic percolator style pedal. So I kind of, I guess, jump back and forth between referring to it as a fuzz and an overdrive because, I mean, harmonic percolator is technically a fuzz. Everybody thinks of that circuit as a fuzz circuit. So, I call it that because of that. But I really feel like the Clubber Lang covers a lot more overdrive territory. It's a lot less compressed, and there's a lot more articulation, I feel like, in the notes than you would get from a normal harmonic percolator. And the input stage of it is a MOSFET input boost. So that's the burn knob controls the amount of gain.
That's the red one.
Yeah, no, the red one is the harm knob, which is the final gain stage. That's the gain for the percolator stage itself. So it's the percolator being pushed by this MOSFET input stage, and the way that the gain from the MOSFET stage and the percolator stage, the way that they interact, there's a lot of room for variation in there. Nice. Which I really love.
Yeah, this one, like I said, depending on where you set the knobs, I think you can get a lot of different, you can go from a mild overdrive to all the way up into fuzz territory.
Yeah,
so that one I think I was my most favorite.
I like that you have taken something like the harmonic percolator, which I think can be sort of a not as great of a dynamic range of what you can do with it. It does the thing that it does really, mm-hmm, really well. But because it does that so well, you don't see a lot of pedals that say, let me do something different that. So I think that was a great idea, like trying to extend that range, but not within the same exact parameters of a percolator.
Yeah.
Like you had to add something to kind of push that outside of its typical boundaries.
Yeah. Thank you. And yeah, I mean, that's part of it too. Part of my, MO as a builder in general. I mean, there's
modus operandi.
Exactly. For those of you who don't speak modus, but as a builder,
method of operation, sorry,
as a builder, it's such an oversaturated market. There's so many, small builders, and all the power and love to, the ones that make, the faithful classic recreations of these circuits. But, part of what I wanted to do is try to push things into different territories. I'm not reinventing the wheel or anything here, but I wanted, if I'm going to make something, I feel like it should have something a little bit different
to it. Well, actually, I think you kind of are. Other ways you'd just be making the wheel.
Right? I guess so. Yeah.
That actually applies.
That does apply. Yeah. Actually.
So Todd, Zach is a pedal builder. He does not build wheels.
Yes, I get it.
But in a pinch, this is you a could bad put analogy. This on the axle of your car.
Yes.
And it could take you where you need to go.
It might work.
Huh. I mean, it might.
For a little. I'm gonna try that.
So help me out. The name Clubber Lang is a reference to
Rocky.
Right.
Rocky. Yep. To Mr. T's. Character.
Right.
And specifically with this, I felt like it was an equally excellent and equally stupid pun, in the sense that harmonic percolators are known for their clang. And so, you know, Clubber Lang, C. Lang, clang. So it's just kind of...
You're like an American Cockney right there.
Yeah, I guess, yeah.
You're like a Wordle guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I kind of had to go with it.
Cool.
Very cool.
It's been a long time since I've watched Rocky II, and a lot of people will come to me with references, and they kind of go over my head.
Dear. Well, yeah, now, do you have a favorite kind of... What do you like to hear that on bestly? As far as like gear, like what do you think this like really sings on?
Cello.
Yes. I think it. You know, I think it really sings, of course, on guitar. I think. It works well. It's got, you know, a punchy character, because harmonic percolators tend to have a lot of treble. And it's a lot of, you know, high-end forward sound. But I tried to balance it out with a good amount of low-end, so you're not at least, you know, losing that low-end presence if you were to play it on bass. So I think it's a good bass platform, especially considering how dynamic it is at lower gain settings. When I play... bass with a dirt pedal, I like to, you know, of course, bring the dirt down a little bit to help retain articulation, and between the articulate nature of it and the, you know,
if you're rocking out a lot of power chords, it'll come in mighty handy.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. Musically speaking, music influence, guitar or bass players, bands, whatever, who is kind of inspiring you, enlightening you,
getting the juices flowing.
Yeah, man.
I mean, I've always been, you know, kind of, you know, a power violence kind of grind, snotty, like really just kind of nasty hardcore. The faster and more frenetic, the better. Bands like Triac and Portrayal of Guilt, who are both currently active and really killing it. Portrayal of Guilt
is, I think, Nova Scotian power violence?
American, baby.
Oh, okay. Just kidding.
Todd, come on.
But I mean, yeah, I've always just been just really dirty and, yeah, just really dirty, loud, obnoxious music when it is, you know, well done. When anything's well done, it's good.
Yeah.
But I mean... Yeah, that really, that just really screams to my soul, I guess. I don't know.
Big, nice. Aggressive, loud, dirty, nasty.
Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what I try to lean into with what I make.
Cool. Excellent. How about any individual bass players that you've kind of maybe modeled your playing after, or at least have been influenced by? Bootsy Collins, but aside from that.
I would definitely have to say Stacy Hilt from the Casca Lottery. Ever since I was, you know, a wee little pup in high school, I would listen to that constantly, and completely changed how I listened to bass and how I approached writing bass parts and playing when I was in bands.
You enjoy the writing aspect?
Absolutely. I enjoy, more than anything, I enjoy the collaborative nature of writing. You know, as a bass player, you know, it's hard for a bass player to come up with, you know, I guess a composition on your own. that, you know, sounds full. So between that and just, I don't know, the collaborative nature of it, I've always been in bands with, you know, people that I would consider my closest friends. So it always felt like that was just a natural extension of our friendship and relationship. And that collaborative process came so organically that, yeah, it's, yep.
Cool. Yeah. It's a special thing when you're in a group where you're able to have that bond that kind of rides over the top of what you're doing.
Yeah.
Very cool. Let's see. Let's dip back into pedal land. We got number three on here.
The Rage Monster. Now, when I first saw this, I expected not to like it. But it's this kind of...
Qualify that, Tony.
Well, it's kind of green and kind of phlegmy looking. And now in hindsight, it makes perfect sense. But I kind of, and this was the one, like the last pedal that we talked about, the Clever Lang and this Rage Monster, I actually found this to be pretty useful. And again, this is...
That's saying a lot for a fuzz, because Tony typically, he gives everything a good shot and he gives it an honest go. But he just doesn't gravitate towards it, you know. And he's doing it through a hand-wired AC-30.
Yes. Well, but I start with that because I know that's...
You know the sound.
I know the sound of it. And then when I plug a pedal into it, I know it.
Yeah.
So how would you describe this one?
That is a treble slash mids booster slash germanium overdrive. It's based on the Range Master, hence once again, you know, a terrible pun, Rage Monster. But it's got it's basically two treble boost circuits in series, both driven by germanium transistors, and in between the two stages is the body control, which dials in a low pass filter that can kind of round out the sound, takes it from just a flat trebly response to a more dynamic, well-rounded response. And then it's got a three-way toggle for output capacitance, so it can be, you know, super bright or have a little more of that low-end presence. So it works well. And lastly, there is in there, there's a trimmer for gain. It comes stock set at half point, so you could either go more or less dirty with it based on that. But, you know, apart from being a treble booster, I really like how it works on its own as a, you know, as an always-on light grit gain stage. Mm.
Yeah, I agree. And having the three-way toggle does give it some, I think, a lot more flexibility because... You know, one of the problems, like if you have, you know, original Range Masters and things, I mean, they were that, just a treble boost. And they tend to be very bright. And mm-hmm. I think being able to blend in more of the bottom end, maybe even some of the mids, does make it, again, a little more flexible depending on what your rig is, what guitar you're playing, and that sort of thing. So,
And I felt like, you know, again, being a person that is first and foremost a bass player, you know, I wanted to kind of make something that would be, you know, a top end boost, but still had enough low end that if you really wanted to kind of hit, like, you know, your bass drive pedal with something that brightens up, you know, the tone and brings in a little more harmonics, I wanted to, you know, make something that would work for that as well.
That's a cool idea because I think a lot of times especially if you're running dirt on a bass or even like a fuzz specifically, you kind of get locked into a certain territory tonally. And if you hit that, being able to get that presence forward mm-hmm. in specific spots, like I could see that useful in some of the things that my band does. That's how I kind of think about pedals too. Like I have the always stuff, but then how do I get something to have a little bit more accent without having to fiddle around with all the knobs
on
the guitars? Like, cause that's just, I'm moving too fast. I can't do that stuff. You mentioned that the two drives are running in series. Can you talk about why that's important? We reference series and parallel in a lot of other type of circuitry things. Either of you or any of you?
Well, in this application, I decided to run it in series because I wanted the first stage to saturate the second stage, which would result in more gain. Also, I wanted with the body control between the two stages, that really also helps, define or change the characteristics of the saturation of that second stage, which we wouldn't really have if it wasn't getting pushed hard by that first stage.
Right.
So it just, it depends on the application and, really a lot, what kind of effect you're trying to make, whether you're going to do series or parallel, because parallel is great, but it can be tricky. If you want to make a good parallel, in keeping with the theme, if you want to make a good parallel drive, you want to be able to have both of those circuits, kind of occupy frequency territories independently that don't cancel each other out, and that really complement each other and various different.
So from a super super layman's kind of, if you don't know anything about this stuff and sometimes I'm like, okay, wait, series is basically A to B in a single line.
Yep.
One into another. You go step one into step two, and then you have your bass, your tone in the middle of that. So it's really A, B, C in a straight line.
Yeah.
Right? Parallel would be two independent drives functioning on their own that you essentially blend your own self.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Yep.
So that when we're talking about series and parallel, whether that's guitar pickups or in circuitry, that is essentially what's happening. They're either going into one goes into each other, which is series, or parallel. The two are running alongside of each other, and then you blend them automatically, own self.
If you want to try that on the fly, I'm gonna shout out another small builder. So Chris at Swamp Witch Pedals makes a pedal called Swamp Witch. He's out of Florida, mm-hmm. So that tracks.
Love Chris.
And he makes a pedal called the Silver Birch. And it's got a foot switch that toggles the two gain stages from being series into being parallel. So you can hear at the click of a foot switch the difference between those two sounds.
Right. And a lot of builders will do, if there's like a dual drive section, you can do one in front of the other.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do like an order switch.
Order switch, yeah.
Yeah. That's a common thing that you'll see on different drive pedals, dual drive pedals, essentially. Well, that's really cool, man. This was a fun range to play with. I think you've got certainly a lot of options just within these three pedals. Are you working on anything new outside of these?
Yeah, I've got quite a few different things that I've been developing. One of my problems is that I can't just focus on one project and see it through. So, like I said, I think I've got like five different projects that I'm pretty much at the finish line with and trying to push out. The next one in July is going to be a JFET drive.
Hey, right on.
It's going to be called the Iron Fistula. I didn't want to touch the territory that the Small Sound Big Sound Mini covers in terms of its uniqueness. I hold that pedal and I hold Brian in very high regard, so it's not something that I wanted to do. But it's a JFET drive with an active bass control pre-grit, so that's gonna change a lot of the character of the saturation.
It'll, as opposed to post-grit,
yeah,
that's a huge difference.
Which is just an EQ. Yeah, so And with it being active, you know, if you dial that all the way up and it's before, you know, the grit, you're really pushing that into almost like a JFET fuzz territory in its own right. But the output stage on that is kind of going to be like a rat output. So it's
will it have a bias on it?
No, no bias. Like I said, I didn't want to... you know, I didn't want to step on those toes
because,
I
mean, yeah.
You know, and, you know, hopefully, you know, who knows what the future will hold, but hopefully, you know, Brian and Small Sound, Big Sound will be back and, you know, that will, those will be back on the market. So, you know, I wanted to do something because I've always loved, you know, like we were saying before, I've always loved JFET drives. I had one that a friend made me a long time ago with a bass boost toggle that I used on my bass. And I thought, you know, this is good, but what if it was, what if it had a little more kick? So it was actually optimized, you know, for bass.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I tried that active bass section and it really kicks it.
Right on.
Nice.
Cool, man. Well, thank you so much for sharing all the awesome pedal goodies and, you know, getting to learn a little bit about what you, what makes you tick as a builder and as a musician and everything. And I'm just, it's just cool that you're here in Columbus, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been my pleasure. And yeah.
Solid. Let's see here. We got to swing on over to... Well, Jared's not home, but we are going to, we'll just drive past Neil Camino and wave at his house.
Hey, hello, Jared.
And I think John's going to swing this one here.
So now is the time on the show where Jared usually says, would you rather, in a beautiful singing voice.
Yeah.
Yes.
And since my throat is still...
Why don't the three of us do it? Ready? One, two, three. Would you rather...
Yeah, that was beautiful. That was beautiful. So today's Would You Rather comes from our good friend, Sam Jett.
Sam Jett!
And it says, and I quote, congratulations. NASA has accepted your application as an astronaut in the Artemis program. You're going to Mars.
Woo-hoo! Yes! Wait a minute.
Well, to entertain yourself
that's
during
cool.
the...
Matt Damon's there.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Growing potatoes from poop.
My Damon.
To entertain yourself during the 18-month journey, each astronaut is allowed 10 pounds of personal gear. Your application stated that you are a guitar knob, so we are waiving any size limitations. However, the weight limit of 10 pounds, as stated in the mission parameters, still stands. Choose wisely. So any of the Les Paul fans in the house, you're pretty much done. So this is Sam has a little note at the beginning. This is less of a would you rather as it is a, you know, what would you bring given the 10-pound limit? And then he has his answer, which we'll read at the end.
That's smart.
I have a very important question. Based on what level of gravity are these 10? Because we're going to space. We're going to Mars.
I will.
Is 10 Earth pounds?
I will not be entertaining questions.
That's
well, for the sake of argument.
We should consult Space Force.
For the sake of argument, we will use Earth gravity.
Fair enough. Pounds. Okay.
So you can take one half of a Les Paul worth of equipment with you.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what I'll take.
Tony, why don't you hit us first?
Well, I think I would find a nice 1950s Telecaster that weighs about 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Old wood, dried out, sounds good. And then I'd have to bring just kind of a little small, little practice amp or something, I guess. Maybe a headphone thing.
Okay.
I don't know.
All right.
I have to think about that.
Well, that's what we're doing right now, so think fast, mister.
Okay, that's what I would bring.
Okay.
And I'd bring headphones because I don't want to...
Sure.
You know, all the rest of the astronauts, I don't want to keep them up with my rad guitar playing, man.
Indeed. Yes. let's see here. John, about yourself, what are you doing?
So I'm going to be very similar to Tony's choice. I would do a Telecaster. Copycat. Well, these things happen. I would do a Telecaster just to, you know, to get the weight of the guitar down, and I'm a big fan of that model. I would probably pick, and I don't have a thought directly in mind, but a good drive pedal that's battery powered so that we could get the battery in there.
How about solar powered?
potentially solar powered. That'd be a great idea. And then some kind of a headphone amp with headphones would be kind of the end of that for me. So just drive pedals, all I need, Telecaster, headphone amp, headphones.
Okay.
Nice.
Zach?
Well, considering how violently Tony reacted when John copied his Telecaster answer, I guess I will take the Telecaster off of the table.
No, go ahead. I insist.
I mean, yeah, I would bring an Esquire. I love
that would be lighter because it has one less pickup.
Exactly, and I mean, I'm a bridge pickup. I mean, not a Pierce, but I love me some bridge pickup. And I mean, yeah, you got to have a headphone amp, and yeah, I would definitely bring a reverb pedal.
Awesome. Well, I am going to...
Todd, what would you choose?
I am going to have my good buddy Chase Gullett build me a single pickup. A single P90 Cobra. It was one of his newer models.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe a Daytona. Not out of mahogany. Chambered.
Chambrayed.
And I'm going to take the Spark Mini.
Ooh.
Oh, good choice. And that's a good choice.
And a brand new set of Rode headphones.
I'm told they have a limited number of the Minis available.
Yeah?
Yes.
No, not the Mini.
The Mini, Spark.
I don't want
Minis.
The Mini.
You don't want the Mini?
I just want the Spark.
You want the regular Spark?
I want the Spark.
But the Mini would weigh less.
It'd be smaller, but it's got one less speaker and stuff.
See, I had you pegged for the Casio with the built-in speaker and amplifier guy.
I've used that Spark Mini almost... I use the Spark amp legitimately almost every single night.
You know what would have been cool?
What?
Is a Dan Electro with the amp in case. Ugh. It's all in one thing.
Why don't you take that? That's something you would take. Some goofball 60s job with some crazy nonsense on it.
Okay, I'll do that. That's
yeah.
Thanks,
actually,
Todd.
You'd take that. What was the Dan Electro from last time?
Todd.
Yeah.
I'm going to ruin your day here.
Why?
I did some fact-checking while you've been flapping your gums over there.
Ooh.
The Positive Grid Spark weighs 11.46 pounds.
Really? How about the Mini?
Okay, I'm going with the Mini. It's that heavy?
It doesn't seem that heavy.
I don't
heavy.
Pick it up a lot, so it, I mean, no.
The words don't lie.
Okay, well, okay, fine. I'll take the Mini. But you go. That's
I'm
what I'm
checking
doing.
The Spark Mini.
All right.
But anyway, while I'm checking,
yeah.
Sam had an answer that he'd like to share.
Yes,
oh, that's
hear
right.
That.
Let's hear Sam's. That.
So Sam has very specific weights listed here.
Hmm.
So I'm not going to calculate this. I'm just going to assume that this is less than 10 pounds. He would like a Fender Player Series Mustang at 6 pounds, 15 ounces.
That would be light.
An Old Blood Noise Endeavors headphone amp at 6.6 ounces.
Oh, yeah.
A Wallwart at 6.5 ounces. An Audio-Technica M50X headphone set at 12.6 ounces, a guitar cable at 6.5 ounces, Tour Gear Designs patch cables times two at 1 ounce.
Boy, he's really...
He thought this out a lot
more than we did.
Low sounds Atari Fuzz at 5 ounces. And that's very smart because it's a plastic enclosure, so you're saving some weight there. And then the Native Audio Rising Sun from our friend Mikey down the street, 10.7 ounces. Got to have at least some modulation, he says. So good choices, Sam. I think he also had the luxury of a little bit more time and calculations here.
Indeed. But that was a really great question.
Would you rather? Fun. And you could do that when you're going out into outer space to repair vacuum tubes.
Yeah. I actually, one of my answers was going to be, I was thinking an Explorer, like a Gibson Explorer.
Explorer. Yeah, Ford Explorer.
A Ford Explorer. No, a Gibson Explorer, because then I could also help Matt Damon dig new crops with the edge of it.
Are we still talking the Ford Explorer?
Yes. No.
Yes.
Because that's more than 10 pounds.
Yes. Anyways, thank you so much, Sam Jett, for sending that in. Sam is awesome. He sends in such great stuff, and we really appreciate you.
I'm going to give him a little shout out too. I just got it in the mail today, a new pedal designed and built by Mr. Sam Jett. So
no kidding.
I will have to follow up with what? You folks later.
Nice.
You didn't even tell us about that. What's up with that?
Well, because well,
Sam, what's up with that, Sam?
He likes John better
I
than you.
So. There's a lot of things that we've got going on right now that we haven't told you about.
I know.
Well,
of one.
Anyways, we need to thank a few people.
That's right, Todd, because at this point of the show, this is a time that we love to thank a very special group of people. These are our executive producers.
Yes.
Now, someone out there might be wondering, what's an executive producer?
Tony, what's an executive producer?
Well, let me tell you, John. Executive producers make this podcast possible. You can go over to patreon.com/theguitarknobs. Check out a couple of different levels in which you can participate. Become a sponsor, a patron of this very podcast. These levels include really great thank you gifts. And, you know, in addition to thank you gifts, there's one more thing that's very, very, very special. John, what is that?
You get to have your name read on the thing.
Your name read on the thing, and that's what I'm going to do right now. So special thanks to these executive producers, Moon Guitars, Vader and Pedals, Drew Lopez, John Helverson, Rick Calhoun, Trevor Gunberg, Elad Mizrahi, Mikey D, Richard Kendall, Mark Garten, Matt Hart, James White, Justin Jones, Anthony Gemolero, Bill Gola Guitars, John Asterly.
Heyo.
I know him. I met him once. He's a great guy. Anthony Lathrop, Stefan Lem, Michael Senchuk, Ken Sayers, Doug Christ, Darren Gregory, John Englund, Tom Brazen, Rusty Sneeden, Ralph Gottschalk from Wonderful Audio Technology. What?
What? He just, I hate to pause here, but I'd like to congratulate Ralph and his family on their recent addition. He just had a little girl.
So. Oh, I thought you meant like they built a den or something.
No,
just kidding.
Let's go back to David Poe, Don Kloss, Gregory Randall, and Brett Hogarth. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
But you know, Todd.
Yes.
There's another special group of executive producers. Yes. We call them our grand poobas.
Yes.
These are the creme de la creme of executive producers.
Yep.
Every one of them better than me.
Well,
every
slightly.
One of them.
You know what makes the difference? They get a fez to wear upon their cap.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Their mm-hmm. fez on their cap.
Suite with an unlimited Chef Boyardee bar. Beefaroni.
Beefaghetti.
Beefaghetti. SpaghettiOs.
They're both so good.
Yeah.
Beefaghettios.
All the other.
Anything that has orange sauce on it. General Tso's chicken.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Orange is.
Well, there's a General Tso's chicken fountain, which is really spectacular. Anyways, go ahead.
I love it. So special, special, special thanks to these grand poobas. Tommy Manasco. Ricardo Igareda. David Kaminga, Brandon Wound Pickups, Hex Metos, Michio Murakishi, Bob Crouch, Jack Cadian, Sam Jett.
Yeah, I get it. Go ahead.
Okay, sorry.
Thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sam. Tyler KC Rhines, LSJ Music Company, John Williams, James Pennington, Adam Johnson, Steve Keys, Cody Foster, Science of Sound, Brian Robison, Jonathan Jerusik from 12th Hour Devices, Corey Nigro, Michael Van Zant, Tim Nowak, Jonathan Daly, Martin Cliff, Sean S. And Eddie Serratos. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for making this possible.
Indeed. We truly are appreciative of this. And we need to find out where people can get a hold of Mr. Zach at Malaise Forever.
They can find me at malaiseforever.com. They can find me on Instagram at malaiseforevercustoms, or you can shoot me an email at malaiseforevercustoms@gmail.com.
Right on. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And John, how about yourself?
So you would think it'd be Rare Buzz everywhere, but that's not the case. It's Rare Buzzer with the ER at the end. At Rare Buzzer on all social media, www.rarebuzzer.com. If you ordered a Cyborg, they're coming out now. We are shipping them as quickly as we can build them. I thank everyone for their patience through this whole build process, and we will have new stuff very soon, but we got to get the Cyborgs out first.
Sounds good. Tony's?
Head over to pickguardian.com, check out some of the things I have available for purchase. By and large, what I do is custom work, so shoot me an email, let me know what you're trying to do. Who knows? I might actually have some good advice for you.
Yeah, it's true.
So contact me at tony.pickguardmaker.
Oh, shut it. Hey, you had me actually believing that.
He was starting. He said, no, what are you doing? But go to the website, click on the link, shoot me an email.
Okay, if you can't get a hold of Tony for all the various reasons, get a hold of me. You can send me an email, todd@theguitarknobs.com. You can shoot me a DM at, I'm getting stink face. You can shoot me a DM on Instagram at Guitar Knobs, and we will be happy to answer your questions. Or, you know, hey, send us a Would You Rather. That last one was pretty fun.
That was fun.
And we love getting them from you. Tell us what's up, what you think of the show, et cetera, et cetera. And we will say a great big thank you to Zach for swinging by.
Thanks, I love you.
Right on. And hey, everybody, have a fantastic guitar weekend. Subscribe!
Yes!
Peanut brittle, peanut brittle, peanut brittle.
I mean, we're all classically trained jazz musicians here.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah, but don't eat it like he's doing. I smelled that one a mile away. Okay, ready?
Ba-da-bing. I eat classically trained jazz musicians for lunch every day.
This is falling apart already. We're through the looking
glass.
This
is
you project.
I can get my core to move towards
you watermelon. Can.
Watermelon. Is this comfortable for you?
Watermelon.
It's better. It's just.
I have no tonsils. I have no adenoids. So you're hearing is nothing.
No, it's just your big sloppy adenoids. Tongue flopping around in your gullet.
I have found
water. Order in the court.
The more you drink, the less you sweat. So maybe we just. Oh wait, no, it's the opposite.
It's the opposite.
Try another one.
No.
Come on.
Please. It hurts.
that is a face of not ready if I've ever seen. I'm That'd just waiting. Nice he's stuck.
Yeah, give me actually one more second to...
You want to take a walk, like walk around write, the block?
Would you like to write them down?
Go big. Go big or go home,
go
John.
Go big or go home. But it's sassafras.
Sassafras?
Sassafras. Yummy, yummy in the tummy. That's beefaroni, beefagetti, beefaroni, beefagetti, beefaroni, beefagetti. So they're both so good.
Are we boring you, Todd?
Well, that's it for these knobs. Please visit our Patreon page at patreon.com/theguitarknobs. Visit our website at theguitarknobs.com for all of our past episodes, Four on the Floor blog, and other good stuff. You can connect with us on social too at our Facebook page and share your gear and stories on our Facebook group. Also, be sure to check out our Instagram at guitarknobs. Catch you next time.